Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Right now, we're pleased to welcome CBS NFL insider Jason LaCanfora. And Jason, I want to start with what's been the biggest story in football the last week. We found out that Larry Ogunjobi will not get his suspension reduced. He will have to serve one game. Myles Garrett had his appeal with the NFL on Wednesday, and he's trying to use precedent to get his indefinite suspension reduced. What's your sense of how the mediators might handle his case as well as Maurkice Pouncey's?
Yeah, I think the one result we know may end up sort of being a template for what's to come. This is the kind of situation that nobody wants to see in the NFL, not the league, not the union, and not, you know, Derek Brooks, James Brash, guys who adjudicate these things for a living. That's not what anybody wants to see. I think the league sent a really strong signal immediately in the way the suspensions were handed out. And then in my conversations with Troy Vincent over the weekend going through it, you know, he said, Myles Garrett, that's an easy decision, Jason. He's like, that can't happen. We don't need to see a player who does that on the football field for the rest of the year. And knowing James Thrash a little bit, having covered him when he was on the Redskins, and I covered the team for the Washington Post about 15 years ago, and spending time with James and kind of knowing how his mind works and the kind of thoughtful person he is, and how much he cares about the game and the integrity of the game, I tend to think that he's going to be up the mind as well, that, you know, that there's no place for that. And as for Pouncey, you know, could it be lowered from three games? I don't know, perhaps, but I also know that those two teams play each other again in 2 weeks. And, you know, having someone that combustible back in that game maybe doesn't make sense.
I thought it was interesting how quickly the NFL reacted. Not even 24 hours later, we already have the suspensions handed down. Almost like the league was trying to control the narrative or shape it as much as possible, knowing that the video of this brawl was going to go viral and being a huge conversation even outside of sports.
Yeah, and really, you know, the way Troy explained it to me was that there were four sort of principles who were at the heart of what transpired there. Four players who faced the specter of, you know, in real time doing things that may be, you know, ejectable and or suspendable. So they spent the first 24 hours after that game focused on dissecting what those individuals did, how egregious any infractions were, and sort of, you know, looking at those actions, not the result. You know, Myles Garrett ended up hitting Mason Rudolph with the padded part of his helmet. You know, that's what the result, but the action was he swung it wildly. If he caught him with any other part of that helmet, he probably splits his head wide open. So they wanted to assess that first, Amy, because you could be looking, if it's suspension, that affects the roster, and you want those teams to have as much time as possible to start making contingencies, especially the Browns, who could be without multiple defensive linemen for a period of time based on the position groups. And then once they sorted that out, it's looking at the fines of everybody who left the sidelines, any coach, any player who did anything that you know, runs afoul of the game. And trust me, they've got 29 different camera angles to look at to sort all that out.
As a former NFL player recently said to me, the eye in the sky does not lie. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Jason LaCanfora, CBS NFL insider, spending a few minutes with us. Also over the weekend, the Colin Kaepernick workout, kind of murky, the details. We've got one side saying one thing, the other side saying the other thing. What's your reaction to how the whole thing played out, Jason?
I just think it's unfortunate that it was that messy, and it was, you know, it devolved the way it did, and it sort of became a battle of lawyers. I'm not surprised. You know, I guess it's to be expected when there is so little trust between these sides and there's so much trepidation and they're looking at each other with such jaundiced eyes, and they've been through, you know, these legal battles already. And I can understand Colin Kaepernick being scarred. And he has to protect himself, and his lawyers have to protect him. And you have to go over every word with a fine tooth comb. And I think, you know, from the league standpoint, they feel like they extended themselves for Colin in a way they haven't anybody else. But I also think the way they approached him, the lack of a bedside manner, dropping it on him out of nowhere, not really on, doing it in a way where it might have curried a little more favor or made it a little more inclusive. It was just very bizarre. It was out of the blue. The timing of it was always odd. And unfortunately, I think the end result is that not much is going to change for Colin Kaepernick. Teams were not actively, seriously pursuing him before Tuesday when this dropped out of the blue. And I don't foresee anyone doing it after the fact.
The Kaepernick camp wanted the venue change because the NFL wouldn't allow media or fans to be part of the workout. I had no idea that was actually something that the NFL allowed when players worked out. But I could be wrong, Jason. So what do we need to know about how this happened?
This whole thing is unprecedented. I mean, the league is not in the business of scheduling workouts, which became abundantly clear with all the issues that Colin's team rightfully brought up. And it's things that the NFL's football operations staff just don't normally do. And the guys at the scouting combine, they do a lot of stuff. But NFL veteran tryouts in the middle of a season at a team facility under sort of the umbrella of all that's going on between Kaepernick and the league and how unprecedented all this is, it was new terrain for everybody. And to think that they were going to get on the same page in 5 days in the middle of a season and get all this off the ground with no issues whatsoever, in Atlanta on a Saturday, it just always struck me as probably a bridge too far, and ultimately it was.
The whole thing is just murky and mysterious, and I'm not sure a lot of people understand, including me, so thank you for the additional details. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Let's talk about some stuff on the field, shall we? As I was thinking about week 11, and it dawned on me this past weekend, Jason, what a difference a year can make. So Lamar Jackson took over for the Ravens a year ago this week. Alex Smith had his very devastating broken leg a year ago. The Steelers were on top of the AFC North. Cam Newton and the Panthers were in a great position, only then to have to deal with a year's worth of his injury. So a year can make a mountain of difference in the NFL. As you look back over the last 12 months, what's the most significant change in the league, in your opinion?
I mean, I think you have some positive and negative. I mean, the Chargers last year were starting to charge and starting to live up to their talent and, ended up 12-4 with some really nice wins and looked like they were trending in the right direction. And right now, if you ask me about the Chargers, my biggest question would be, is Phillip Rivers even going to be a part of their future? The Browns from a year ago, where Freddie Kitchens is just starting to call plays and Greg Williams has taken over for Hugh Jackson, and they're about to go 5-2 to finish the season. And then Kitchens becomes head coach. To spin that forward to where we are now, where people are wondering if they can salvage their season at the same point they were a year ago. It's just things happen so fast. But I think how many teams sustain with their backup quarterbacks this year, and then just the continued infusion of young quarterbacks. Arizona at this time last year, we're already kind of fed up with Josh Rosen. Kyler Murray's not perfect just yet, but you watch him on a regular basis, he does a lot of things that make you say that, once they really kind of polish up that diamond, he could be really special. Obviously, Lamar Jackson has been phenomenal. Deshaun Watson is still, 24, 25 years old. What he does on a daily basis. I just think it's a really exciting time for the league as we see some of these youngsters kind of really find their sea legs and now start, they're among the best of the best.
That's a great point. We're seeing the average age of starting quarterback plummet in the NFL. Jason LaCanfora with us here After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. Jason, one of the places where there's a young quarterback who seemingly had all kinds of promise, but now has hit a bit of a snag, is Chicago and Mitch Trubisky. His head coach, Matt Nagy, is firm in his support of this young QB. He says that he's behind him and that he's going to be the starter moving forward. How much stock do you put in that support and those answers?
He's committed because he has to be committed because the GM moved up to get this guy in the draft when nobody else in the top five was even thinking about it. And he outsmarted himself and he passed on Mahomes and Watson to do it. And now the chickens are coming home to roost. But, I mean, Nagy was with Chase Daniel in Kansas City. There were people telling me last October – that, hey, you know, if you really watch these two on a daily basis, Chase Daniel could run the offense better than Trubisky. And even when they were winning with Trubisky last year, it was because they were always playing with a lead. The defense played out of its mind. The schedule and injuries all worked to their favor. And Trubisky had, you know, he was great on the first 15-play script, and then they'd have a big enough lead that they could just squat on it. You know, he didn't have to carry a team. He could just be along for the ride. And this year, he's not really even able to do that. And I think he's had a crisis of confidence. You know, I think Nagy will do just enough to kind of be aligned to him. But in the offseason, there's going to be big questions to be asked. I don't think Trubisky's going anywhere. They have too much invested in him. You know, that they want to see this through. But I think it'll be like the Marcus Mariota situation of the past offseason, where he's still there, but man, he's on a short leash, and the backup is a guy who's won games in the league before as a starter, not a career backup like a Chase Daniel.
For the past year plus, we've been hearing the phrase tank for Tua around teams that potentially could be selecting a quarterback in the upcoming draft. Now he suffered the devastating hip injury, and though it sounds like he could make a full recovery, what ripple effects will that injury have when it comes to the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously unfortunate. He's a great kid with a magnetic personality, and I've heard nothing but positive things about him through, you know, the college scouting community. And obviously, you know, Nick Saban and the Alabama program thinks the world of him. And you know, he suffered through a fair amount of injuries at a young age. So, I mean, is that part of the narrative? Yes. You know, where will he be physically, you know, by March, April, May, you know, leading into the draft and right after the draft? How much activity would he be cleared for in the spring if you do draft him? You know, those are questions that we don't know the answer to right now. And depending on how he heals, there may be a case to be made for going and using that last year of eligibility and using the world-class weight room and facilities, rehab facilities at Alabama, and having a kind of a redshirt year. And if he plays a little bit, great. If he doesn't, really, there's nothing else he needs to show on a college football field. It would just be about being as healthy as possible to position himself best to get drafted in the highest slot possible. So right now, there's more unknown than known. But he has a tremendous work ethic. He is optimistic to a fault. If anybody has the mindset to pull through this, it's him. But this is a significant injury, and you know, they're going to have to be really smart about the rehab and recovery process.
Yeah, certainly his rehab, his recovery, and his physical well-being are the most important things right now. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence and Jason Lockenfor, CBS NFL Insider here on CBS Sports Radio. Okay, so last thing, it blows me away that as other sports leagues have to deal with waning TV ratings, the NFL continues to grow and increase its profile, and also now seeing the ratings rebound even more than they did a year ago. Why is it that the NFL is the only league able to buck the trend, Jason?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's just an insatiable appetite for football. I mean, people have said it's the perfect television sport. You know, it's played on a grid, the gridiron, the TV is a grid. The technology is better than ever. The gambling component is bigger than ever. I think fantasy football, no one in the league office 20 years ago, if you would have told them that fantasy would be one of their biggest revenue generators, I just don't think anybody would have thought it would have blown up the way it has. It's become the national pastime, and it's stronger than ever. And really, I mean, once they get this collective bargaining agreement done, and I bet that happens in early 2020, then you're going to secure new TV deals. If they do this 17-game season, and I wouldn't rule that out, you're talking about more international games. You might be talking about games in December in Tuscaloosa or at Notre Dame with Touchdown Jesus. And what does that do for people? And that's a one-of-a-kind experience, and I want to go to that game, and I want to be a part of that. I think the business of football is booming, and if they take care of business on the CBA and these broadcast deals and with the influx of gambling money, sponsorship coming in, and we're going to have a football Taj Mahal in Vegas, and we're going to have a football Taj Mahal in Inglewood, California, I think the business of football is going to be booming for a while.
It is the best reality show on TV. We can't get enough. You can follow him on Twitter at Jason Lockhand Forrest, CBS NFL Insider. You can see him every Sunday morning on the NFL Today on CBS. It's great to catch up with you. Thanks so much for a couple of minutes.
My pleasure. Have a great night.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.